I want to read some scripture this morning taken from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. I'll begin in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I want to try to speak to you this morning about some of the great realities of faith. Some of the great realities of faith. All the wonders of creation, all the discoveries of revelation, all the movements of providence are intended to create and foster faith in the living God. This great chapter is a chapter of faith. One of the great monuments that's been erected to in memory of all the heroes and patriarchs of the Scriptures that has the inscription as an epitaph, "These all died in faith." In faith. I'll begin reading in verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child which she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things or live this way declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Anyone who's acquainted with the elements and the virtues of Christianity all know that the primary and the principal characteristic of Christianity is faith. 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 It's one of the things that the Scriptures clearly declare. And the reason that the Scriptures are written, if there's some declaration in Scripture concerning the intent of the Bible, it would be found in the 20th chapter of St. John, which tells us that it is written, these things were written that you might believe, and in believing you might have life. The Scriptures, the intent and purpose of Scripture or the Bible is so that you might believe, and if you'll believe, you'll experience eternal life. This great book is a book of faith. Those that lived the redeemed life, those that have been filled with the Spirit of God, from beginning to end, it has been a life of faith. They live by faith. They walk by faith. It all began when they put faith in Jesus Christ. And the whole running of their Christian life is a run of faith. The faith that starts in our Christian life finishes with faith. The next chapter begins that we lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We are constantly and perpetually looking to God or looking to Christ in faith. Those that come to God, they must believe that He is. They must have faith. People today, they like the respect, the respectability. And I'm talking about modern Christianity. Modern Christianity likes the respectability of faith, but they don't like the uncomfortableness of faith. They don't like to be uncomfortable. They want a respectable faith. But this faith that is demonstrated in this particular chapter calls people to live uncomfortable lives, looking to the reality of a future presence in great expectation of the future presence of God, being in that glorious city with God. Now, listen to me. None of the blessings of Christianity can ever come your way unless you exercise faith. Faith. None of the great virtues regarding Christianity can ever be added to you until you have faith. Paul talked about those things, and Peter also, that we add to our faith. It all begins with faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You've got to have faith in order to live the justified life. Faith is essential. It is vital to the Christian experience. You must have faith in order to be saved. We have to have faith as a people in order to experience the great blessings of God. Faith is what makes us faithful. Faith is what gives us zeal. It is faith that gives us that fervent love that we need one toward another. It is faith that makes us constantly laboring to serve God. We need that kind of faith that promotes and inspires God's great power upon us and anointing on us and blessings on us. We need faith that moves mountains. Anything that weakens our faith also weakens our spiritual power. We can't please God unless we live lives of faith. It's faith that saves us. It's faith that sanctifies us. It's faith that keeps us safe. So we need faith. Faith. Faith receives what grace provides. I'm going to give you, we need grace. I like grace. I've experienced grace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. We need grace in order to be saved. We need to exercise faith in order to be saved. I love the acronym for grace. I'm sure you've heard this before. You know, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a great acronym for grace, isn't it? Great acronym for grace. Let me give you an acronym for faith. Now, you might want to write this down in the margin of your Bibles. Faith is us forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. I believe in a forsaking all kind of faith. I believe you have to not only turn from sin in repentance, but you've got to forsake all and trust the Lord. Just a great acronym for faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Without faith, there's no way you can acquire grace. Grace comes into our life through faith. Grace comes into our life through faith. Now, I'm not going to spend the time of explaining the breakdown of verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, but I'm convinced that in the logistical construction of the Greek language, grace is the gift and not faith. Now, faith is a grace, but grace is what God does. Faith is what you do. You have to put faith in Jesus Christ. You've got to respond to the gospel. You've got to exercise faith. Everybody say exercise faith. Grace is God's ability. Faith is your responsibility. You need to put faith in Christ. Today, I believe there's a lot of people that have that messed up and that confused. We have access to grace through faith. All right? I'll give you another cross reference. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherein, verse 2, we have access unto grace. Okay? So we have access to grace through faith. Right? Access to the favor of God upon our lives, experiencing God's riches at Christ's expense. We get to experience those great riches of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by exercising faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Yeah. Now look, folks, you can't experience the cleansing that comes from God unless you exercise faith. The washing that comes upon the soul. And what a blessing it is to experience the washing of regeneration. What a blessing it is to have your sins washed away, to have your account of sin blotted out. Amen? What a blessing it is. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they can be as wool. I'm talking about a washing. The Bible says in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, when the Jews, the apostles, came back and they expressed to the Jewish church in Jerusalem about the Gentiles getting saved, he said when he stood before the council or the church at Jerusalem, that the Gentiles experienced the same thing that the Jewish church experienced. He said in verse 9 of the 15th chapter of Acts, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. Man, if you ever want to get your heart right with God, you're going to have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Yeah. We got to have faith to be saved. The church needs a greater degree of faith. Oh, we're much like the apostles or the disciples that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just walk around saying, Lord, increase our faith. We need our faith increased. You know, we can't get our prayers answered unless we have faith. Jesus said in Mark 11 and 24, whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever. You ask in faith, believing. Jesus said, it shall be granted unto you. We cannot even have our prayers answered unless we're exercising faith. God's people need a greater degree of faith. We can't overcome the world without faith. In 1 John 5 and 5, it says, who overcomes the world? Who overcomes the world but him that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we're overcomers. That's how we have victory as Christians in the world. We have faith, and faith grants us victory. Faith grants us victory. When we lack faith and when we are weak in faith, that's a bad situation to be in. It really is. I mean, it's an evil situation to be in. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. The Hebrew writer said, take heed, lest there be any among you, who has an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3 and 12. Somebody might be here today, and you have unbelief in your heart, and if that heart is full of unbelief, it is an evil heart. Unbelief is a sin. It is a sin that damns the soul. If you have unbelief, unbelief is a damnable sin. It will damn your soul to hell. Bible says, John chapter 3 and verse 18, he made it real clear. He that believeth is not condemned. The person who has put faith in Jesus Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. The Bible's real clear. Matthew 13 and 58. Jesus was not able to do many miracles. He was limited on exercising his own power in the city where he was born because of their unbelief. Folks, we are instructed to put faith in God. On one occasion, in Matthew 11 and 22, I believe it is, Jesus just said, have faith in God! I mean, he looked at the crowd and he said, have faith in God! And if anything goes forth from this pulpit this morning concerning the realities of faith, it is a message declaring to you and asking you and exhorting you to have faith in God. Not in me, not in our own ability, but we serve the God of the impossible. Amen? All things are possible with God. Jesus said that. Mark chapter 9 verse 23. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto that person. Read it. It's in the Bible. That's what Jesus said. If you can just believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Man, I hope this increases your faith this morning. You know, there was a man that came to Jesus in that same chapter. I believe it's in Mark chapter 9. I may have said Matthew. Mark chapter 9. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I believe, but I want that kind of belief where impossible things happen. I mean, that's what he was saying. Don't you want to get there? Yeah. Yeah. I tried to encourage us Wednesday night that our faith might be increased concerning the great commission that has been given to us. I told my son this past week, talking to him on the phone, I said, well, I've come to this conclusion that my quota in life for reaching a lost world is 25. He's like, what? Those of you that were here Wednesday night understand what I'm talking about, that I have a quota. In order for me to stand before the judgment bar of God, and him asked me, did I do my part concerning the great commission of reaching the world? The quota expected of me is 25. I don't know. Maybe that's in my sanctified imagination. Y'all know where I'm going with this. I want to have the faith necessary to be effective in the world. I want to have the faith necessary to see great things happen here in Hendersonville and in the world. Is God able? Is he able to save the world? always has been, and he always will be able to save the world. Now, let me go through. Time gets away from me. Boy, I hadn't even started yet. That was my introduction. Oh, my goodness. All right, so the vitality of our Christian life requires faith. Sinners getting the virtue necessary to be granted grace requires faith. Faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Now, I believe salvation is wholly of grace, don't you? It's not of works, not something that you can do. Okay, but repentance and faith aren't works, they're graces. You've been given the opportunity and you have the responsibility. If you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, to come to the cross. If you've heard about his atoning death, him being a substitutionary atonement for you. You've heard about his sacrifice, that he was paying the price for you, that he was becoming sin for you. You have a responsibility to come to the cross and experience the washing that comes as a result of his blood. You need a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart and upon your life. And I tell you, when you come to the cross and you experience salvation, you'll know there's been a change in your life. I mean, in the core of your heart and life, you're changed. And you begin to live like these great patriarchs lived. In the reality of the future, you live out in the present the reality of the future, where that you live a life of faith. Now faith, let me define faith. I'm getting way behind here. But faith is not just not a jump in the dark, okay? That's not faith. Faith is trusting. It's trusting. It's committing your trust. Okay, that's faith. It means faith, okay? Where you commit your life, okay? Where you submit your life in trust of something. That's faith. It's different than like the dictionary faith. Faith brings results and brings a new reality to life. Like these men lived that we read about in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now, that's the definition. Trusting and committing and surrendering your life to something else. Giving over your life to something else. That's faith. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, I want you to look at verse 1 just for a few minutes. I want to unpack this just. I need to just point out a couple of things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Give me about 4 minutes, okay? These elements, this aspect, it's not a theological definition. It's more explaining the characteristics or the qualities of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, as this verse begins to describe the nature of faith, I want to go through these two phrases. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Now, there's other translations that use other words. They use the word assurance and conviction. Okay? We looked at this Wednesday night, how that a Greek word can have different meanings or different inflections. We looked at the Greek word guna, which can mean woman or it can mean wife. Half the time, over 100 times, it's translated woman in the New Testament, and over 100 times it's translated wife. And we determined what word to use in our English language, or use the right inflection or definition based on what? Context. The context determines which word to use. Now, many of the translations that use the word assurance rather than substance, okay, use a lesser word that belittles or undermines the depth and degree true faith is in a life that believes. Conviction is another word that's used for evidence by a lot of translations. I wouldn't choose either one of those words, assurance or conviction. I like these two words because they're weighty. Faith is the substance. I mean, you can have assurance and not have substance. You can't have substance without assurance. Okay? You can have conviction and not have evidence. But you can't have evidence without having conviction. Okay? So the King James chooses the weightiest words in describing the nature of faith. Now that's important. I think it's important because the context reveals that those patriarchs of old, they had substance to their hope. They had evidence to things that they had not seen. Okay? All right, bear with me just for a few minutes. All right, I got one more minute. Faith is firmly persuaded and having expectation that God is going to perform what He promised in Christ Jesus. And that persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession in the present of a reality that's off in the future. Okay? Let me give you an example. You're going to stand before the judgment bar of God. The Bible says everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? We know that we'll stand before the great white throne at judgment. Do you know whether you'll be condemned or not? Are you going to be condemned on the day of judgment? Is there a present reality in your life that you know what's going to happen in the future and you're living according to that future, that there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? Are you with me? That's what faith is. Faith is a living hope. It's a realization. And there's substance to our hope. Hope is something. Now listen. I mean, most people say, well, hope doesn't have any substance. Something you're hoping for doesn't have any substance. But the faith that is in God, the faith that is in Christ Jesus, gives substance to our hope. Are you with me? Okay. We're talking about Bible faith. We're talking about Christian faith. We're talking about saving faith. Okay. All these promises of the Old Testament, these people of the Old Testament they were so real in their life. They were promises of the future, okay? But they were so real in their life, and they had not seen them, but they lived as though they saw them and lived in the present of a future reality. The future became real in their present, giving their hope substance. Okay. So it's future promises lived out in the present. We have the promise of eternal life, but I live right now having already eternal life. Don't you?
And yet Jesus taught that in John chapter 5, verse 24. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, everlasting life. We've got it right now. We live it right now. Right? Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation because he's passed from death unto life. There must be something that happens in you when you exercise faith where future things like standing before the judgment of God become a reality where there's no more condemnation. Now that's a lot for you to grasp, but our hope has substance. Well, that was a long minute, wasn't it? I can give you many examples of this. Let me give you one hurriedly. In Hebrews 11 and 26, read to you. Well, I didn't read that far. But where Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ, look in verse 26, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, here we see Moses, he took a stand on messianic promises, promises concerning Jesus Christ, forsook all the treasures of Egypt to be persecuted for the Messiah that had not come and would not come for thousands of years. His hope was certain because you see he had a positive hope in the future. And it gave him absolute substance in the present. Now, we have a problem with our Christianity today. We have a lot of people that exercise a faith with no substance for the hope of the future. But we as missionary Baptists believe in a substantive hope. Okay? We do. Not just an assurance. You know, your dad could give you assurance. Your mom can give you assurance. The Bible might give you assurance. We're talking about something that has substance. More than just assurance. We have substance to our hope. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm trying to describe for you something that has to be lived out in your Christian life. Something that has to be experienced in your Christian life. These men experienced it. They saw into the future a city whose builder and maker is God and lived in the present as though they were in that city. Citizens of that city. This world wasn't their home. That was their home. They lived here as though they were already there. All right. Let me give you one. Evidence of things not seen. Now, there's other passages. I mean, they saw these things. How did they see? Did they see heaven? I mean, it says they saw these things. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them. When did they see them? Faith makes our spiritual senses more intense and more real than our physical senses. We almost ignore the natural senses. What do they see? Afar off. They saw these things afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They never saw them with their natural eyes, but they saw them with the eyes of faith. And they became a reality to them. A living, present reality. Noah, another illustration here. I don't have time to get into Noah. I may give that to the young people tonight. Evidence of things not seen. The word evidence in the Greek means evidence. Okay? That's what it means. According to the context, it means evidence. There's not a better word. Conviction is not necessarily a better word. Evidence is the best word here. Okay? Evidence is banking your life on your hope, on things that you have not seen. Okay? Banking everything. Okay? on what hasn't been seen with the natural eyes. Living your life on basis of things that are not seen. Well, let me close. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Get a song. Noah. Can you imagine God coming to Noah and saying, Noah, it's going to rain. It never rained before. Never rained before. I mean, do you think it was kind of pondering? Do you think it was a reality to him before it ever rained? I believe it became a reality to Noah as though it had always rained. God said it was going to rain, it's going to rain. There was substance to his faith. And the evidence was that he went out and he built a boat for the saving of his house. Yeah. He was building a boat out on dry ground. It was real to him. There was evidence there. Evidence in the way he lived his life. In what he did. It was real to him. And faith needs to be real to you. If you don't have a saving faith, a real faith, a Christian faith, a biblical faith, I encourage you to exercise faith to make faith real. It's the only way it's made real to you is by exercising faith. Then grace will come into your life. You know what? It's a blessing to live life now as it's going to be in the future. If I could just get God's people to live life now like it's going to be in the future when we're in heaven, where we could sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where we recognize one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, where we live in that glorious blessing of love and mercy and grace and goodness and forgiveness and all the great things that we'll enjoy there, the happiness, the joy, the glory. Oh, that we would live today in the glory of God. Experience the glory to come. Amen. Now, today, experience the glory to come. And it's real or made real only by and through faith. As we sing, let me make one statement of Jesus Christ in Mark 16:16. He that believeth, is baptized, shall be saved. He that believeth not, shall be damned. Amen? Amen. That just boils it down right here and now. Eternal life depends on you putting faith, turning from your sins, repenting of your sins, and putting faith in Jesus Christ. Let's sing. Is there somebody here who would like to come by faith, who would come to Jesus Christ that they might experience grace through faith? Let's sing. Anybody here lost? I encourage you to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and turn to God. God will abundantly pardon. You must believe God's holy word to be true. Just somebody here needs to be saved. You need to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. This altar is open. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Faith is your responsibility. God will give you grace, but you must believe in Him. Jesus cried out then, He cries out today.